All right, cool. We're recording now. Hey, everybody, it's Rahul over at Custom Creatives, and today I have a very special guest. This is Jason Swank. I'm part of his mastermind group in the Agency Playbook. This guy's built a massive digital marketing agency and sold it, and now he's teaching other digital marketing agencies and even business owners, for that matter, how to grow and scale their businesses. Jason, thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Awesome. Why don't you start off by giving a little bit of a background of what you do and where you've been and how you got here?
Yeah. So, you know, I went to Florida State University, and when I graduated, I had a computer programming degree, and I was probably the worst computer programmer just because I outsourced all my work in college. Right. And so I wish they would call me back. I'd love to do a commencement speech and say, thanks. I learned how to outsource. That's about it. And so I took a job with Arthur Andersen, and I hated it. I couldn't work for anybody. And at the time, I had a friend that looked like Justin Timberlake from NSYNC when that was big. So I created a fake band, fake website called InShit, and it got popular. And then as it got popular, people asked me to design websites. And so I tell you this because we're all accidental owners, right? Like, we knew how to do something cool. Someone offered us money, and then we started doing it. And so I started doing it for a couple of years, and we were growing steadily. And then I just started hiring more and more people. And we eventually grew to a really big agency. And then 12 years later, you know, we were working with clients like LegalZoom, Hitachi, AT&T, Aflac, and a couple of people wanted to buy us. And so we were like, okay. And then when we sold, I was completely depressed. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have that significance anymore. And so I started doing an iPhone app, hated that. And I was just lucky enough that my old competitors reached out and said, hey, how'd you work with these big clients? How'd you sell? How'd you scale? How'd you go through this? And I loved it. I really got significance again, and I was pretty good at it. I've gotten better over the years, and started helping them out. And so then I kind of transitioned into a media company for agencies where I just put out resources that I wish I had. And so that's what I do now. And I mentor agencies as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So your competitors are you, so you were consulting for them, and that kind of led you into this world you're in today.
Yeah, totally by accident, right? It was just like everything else. It's got like, I knew how to do something. Someone offered me money, and then I'm like, well, I need to get some clarity and figure this stuff out.
So now going back to like, did you do it? What's your background specifically? Like when you were working on like LegalZoom, did you actually work the accounts, or were you like the strategy mastermind and had your entire team working on whatever the development was, or the web development or marketing was?
We were doing the custom development for them, as well as the UX and the user experience and everything. So, and then like with like Lotus Cars of North America, mm-hmm. we were the agency of record. So we did everything.
That's amazing. So you ran their ads, their websites, everything. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, not just like some agencies claim clients and then it's like outsourced by, you know, whatever agency like did one little thing. Oh, I can put the logo on my website.
No. I see that all the time. Yeah. I definitely see that. I worked with Nissan. It's like, well, there's two of you. I doubt you. You maybe done like one banner ad or something.
That's right.
Now, do you have some sort of like morning ritual that you start your day with so you get your focus in place so you kind of like start consistently like a pattern?
It's more important, I think, when you go to sleep so you can sleep better. So I ask myself a couple questions where I say, did I help anybody today? Did I learn anything today? Am I ready for tomorrow? And what am I grateful for?
I love that.
Yeah. That's and then actually, in the morning, when I get up in the morning, so my real job, so my hobby is helping agencies. Mm-hmm. My real job is I'm an Uber driver for my children. So I just Uber them around. And then after I Uber them around, I go to do yoga. I just got into yoga and like, I am as flexible as a brick. And now like, I feel a lot better now. So that's part of my morning ritual.
That's awesome. I like your ending ritual because I've never actually asked that question. And whenever I ask about morning routines, nobody ever says about their ending routines because that's one of the hardest things to do is fall asleep with a good night's sleep and have like a clear conscience. You're not constantly waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And that's really important to ask, are you prepared for tomorrow?
Right.
Right. That's where all stress comes is. And is if you're not prepared, then you're not going to have a good night's sleep and you're just going to be tossing and turning. And then also too, like, I never try to go to bed mad. That's why I always ask kind of, what am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm a big follower of Tony Robbins, and like, he's like, you can't be mad and grateful at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. So.
Yeah, that's great. Which event did you go to for Tony Robbins?
I went to the one, the Walk on Fire, whatever one that was.
Okay. Yeah. Unleash the Power.
Yeah. I did that after I sold my agency because I told you I was depressed. And like, we walked on fire and I was like, oh yeah, this is fake stuff. And then like a couple years later, people got burned. I'm like, yes, I did it. Like, it was real.
Oh, that's so funny. Actually, it's coincidental that you said that because I'm actually supposed to go to Unleash the Power Within tomorrow.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. You'll do like the fire walk and you'll be like, it's cold. It's like, it's freaking, dude. Like, and I'm a huge introvert. So like, when you're hugging people and that kind of stuff, like, I left after day two. I just couldn't do it. Like, I was like, I walked on fire. I want to go see my family in New York. Like, yeah. And so I left. Great event, but I just couldn't do the hugging thing anymore.
Yeah, I actually went. I'm actually not going to go because I just went to one that earlier this year. I bought this ticket for somebody else and now they can't make it. So I'm just kind of putting it on reserve. But I went to a 5-day event and the first day when you're dancing, and I'm not a dancer, trust me, it's like 2 left feet is a compliment for me. And the girl next to me danced like she was a professional. And I was like, man, this is uncomfortable. But then after the first day, you're dancing like you're Phoebe from Friends. And it got a little comfortable. And plus it was in Florida, so I was on the whole opposite coast. So I stuck it out for a week.
There you go. Yeah. Now, I used to win some dance contests back in the day. I don't believe. I'm like, I could smoke anybody, but I don't want to do it anymore.
Did you have a good hammer dance?
Oh, yeah, man. I could do the worm, everything.
We may be in a similar era. Yeah. When you were running your agency, what were some of the biggest mistakes that you could reflect back on and reverse had you had a mentor like yourself?
A couple things. I didn't have that clarity of where I wanted to go, right? Like, going back to my origination story, right? I created a website and we were just being reactionary to everything coming to us. So many years, I didn't have focus of where we wanted to go, what we stood for, what we believed in, right? So like, I just interviewed Seth Godin on the podcast that you listened, right? And we talked about the difference between a brand and a logo. And Seth says, you know, okay, if Nike was going to create a hotel, we would know what it would be like. But if Marriott or Hyatt created a sneaker company, we have no clue because we don't know what they stand for. You can interchange those logos. And so I created an agency, which we didn't know what we stood for. And neither did anybody else, because if we don't, no one else does. And then my team didn't know where we're going because I didn't have the clarity. So then my team kept coming to me for all the decisions, because I didn't give them the power. So
I think I've told this story to a couple people. So I think it was maybe year 8, we were probably a couple million in revenue.
We were successful in everybody else's eyes, but mine. And I was not happy. My wife was not happy either. And she was just like, finally, she just said, go get a job. And I'm like, shit. Like, really? Like, and I'm like, well, maybe I just close it down. Like, literally, I was at a breaking point and I was at an important decision process. So I said, all right. At the time I was racing cars as well. So my wife saw a job opening for the CMO of NASCAR. I'm like, let me go apply for that. And so when I went in, they asked 2 questions. They said, what do you want to do every day? And what don't you ever want to do? And I actually have a piece of paper here. So I went home and I kind of drew this thing. And I don't know if you can see it on video.
Yep, I can see it. Don't and do.
So it's basically, this circle is about your size of your fist. So you draw a circle and everything within the circle, and it's supposed to be maybe 20% of the paper, you write your dues. Everything on the outside, you write down and you don't. Meaning, what's the stuff I'm going to say no to? What's the stuff I'm going to outsource? Right? And they gave me complete clarity. And when we did this,
I was literally able to turn the agency around because at the time we were probably 2 or 3 weeks away from not making payroll. Now we were able to make payroll. And then the next 6 months later, I was able to take the agency in a place where the agency didn't need me for everything. It only needed me to set the vision and direction of the agency so people had, you know, the power in order to make decisions. I was able to assist sales. I didn't have to do all the sales. Mm-hmm. I understood the financials. I didn't have to be a wizard at the financials because I would hire people for that, right? And then I'd be the front face for the agency. And that was it. Everything else I said no to. And it gave me complete clarity. So that's one of the things. The other things is to charge, to know what you're worth and to charge what you're worth and to say no to the wrong clients and really nail down. It goes a little bit back about clarity of like, know who your perfect ideal persona is and really drill down. So we went after automotive. We went after higher education. Now we had a big team. So we were able to create multiple niches. Most people I tell is like, pick one, get really good at it, and then start spreading. But we had a big enough team where we could actually do that.
How big was your team at its peak?
I think about 118, 120.
Oh, wow. Was that mixed for like in-house and also for
all in-house?
No. All in-house? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you scaled it. So when you went to did you actually switch careers and go become the CMO, or you went for the interview and they asked those two questions and then you brought it back to your agency?
Yeah, I said I could do this at the agency and I didn't close it up.
Yeah. That's awesome. So that vision and clarity really kind of went from like going under to going all the way up.
Yeah. I mean, that's everything. I mean, think about like I always use this as an example. Let's say we're in a boat from New York to London and your team's on the boat and you don't tell the team where you're going, but you know where you're going. And then after 10 hours, you get tired. You have to go down in the cabin to go sleep. Every time the boat changes direction a little bit, which if you've ever driven a boat, it changes all the time. Your team constantly keeps waking you up. You have to keep coming up to, you know, the cabin and making a course correction. Well, if you just told your team where you're going, they can actually make better decisions and you could sleep.
That comes down to some of the simplest things, which is a clear communication. Why do you think it's so hard for an agency owner to clarify their needs and their wants?
Because we skip it, right? We're all accidental agency owners. And then we see a stupid course out there, right? Of going, how to get the perfect agency client. Silver bullet, right? To do, like, right. Everybody wants a shortcut. Well, let me tell you, there's no freaking shortcuts. Right? I mean, yes, you can work with people that have been there and that will speed things up, but you still have to put in the work. They're not going to do the work for you. Like when people come to me, yeah, I can speed up their learning curve, but they still have to work their butt off.
Right.
And I tell them, like, there's no such thing as a silver bullet. The only silver bullet out there is the silver that you can mine yourself, and then you create your own silver bullet.
Right. No, definitely. Then what kind of, like, for most of these agencies that you teach, are there any specific tools or softwares everybody should be doing for, whether it's like having some sort of like email software, CRM, follow-up systems? Is there anything you train them as far as to make their lives a little easier through technology?
Well, I mean, I'm all about systems, but technology changes. So yes, you should be using technology if you're an agency. But a lot of times people try to automate everything. I'm actually trying to de-automate a lot of what we do. Like, and I respond to everybody's email. Like the emails that I send out to my audience, if someone replies with a question, that's me. I'm doing that manually. I'm not automating that and trying to trick people. Even in my chat bot, I let people know the first couple of questions are chat, like Don bot, Don Draper, and then it's me. So I think the automation should be just coming to remind us to do certain things within the organization, right? So if we're onboarding a client, we should have automation for reminding your employee, oh, you need to send this checklist. You need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to do a welcome video, right? So like one of the things that I do whenever anybody buys a program from me, I send them a custom welcome message every single time. It takes me a lot
from you. I got one from you on a Saturday and I replied. I'm like, hey, is this really you? Or is this some kind of nifty automation where my name just got put in?
I get that a lot. Like people are like, how'd you automate that? I'm like, I said your name.
I was like, what do you mean? Like,
I thought it was like automation because you butchered the hell out of my name.
Get an easier name for a stupid American to, figure it out, right? But a lot of people hold up the sign with their name, and that's fake. I tell people with a hard name, I'm like, I am going to butcher your name. I apologize. Right. And I just, cause I want to give them I want to reassure that they made the right decision. And I want to reassure them that I actually care. Mm-hmm. And what I told you probably when you got into the playbook, I said, hey, if there's anything in it that you wish was in that, let me know, because you have access to it forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm always updating it. So, it's just, I want to give people as much as I needed back then.
Right. No, totally. So you talked about niching down, and then maybe if you master it, spread out and maybe parallel. Like, how important and how hard is it for an agency to niche down? Why don't agencies start off as specialists?
Because they're scared. Well, here's the deal too. When you're starting out, if you're an agency just starting out, you need to try everything. Mm-hmm. Right? Unless you have some complete expertise at something, right? You need to try everything because you find your niche from a process of elimination. It's kind of like you go to a Vegas buffet, you try a bunch of stuff, and you're like, oh, those crab claws were amazing, or whoo, those snails, escargot, no, right? Mm-hmm. And so then you start going, I'll never try snails again, or caviar. Now I'm speaking fancy. I've never tried any of those. I've tried crab legs, like all you can eat crab legs, but snail caviar, no. So passive elimination. And then you always use the example like Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. So Facebook, when they came out, if they try to compete with MySpace, if you guys remember MySpace, right? They would have lost if they try to go after everybody. But if you remember the origin story of Facebook, they started out with Harvard students, and then Ivy League schools, and then universities, and then everybody else, and girlfriends and mothers and grandfathers and all that kind of stuff, right? So they just kept building and building as they got more of the attention. And that's what I think agencies need to do. Or, like with me, I used to think when I started doing this particular business, I was like, all right, let me go after agencies because I love it. But then I'll probably bridge out and go even bigger, right? I'm using this as a stepping stone. I'm like, I've actually changed my mind. I'm like, no, I love this. Like for the next 5 years. And if I ever don't like it, I'm building a house in Durango, Colorado, and they have a steam engine. I'll just go start working on steam engines. You won't ever hear from me again. And just keep at that niche. But everybody always thinks I need to be bigger, because here's the secret. Everybody's vain. Everybody cares what other people think, or most people do. And when you stop caring about that, then you can make better decisions.
Right. So when you're building a team, how do you measure and assign roles and responsibilities? Is there any kind of trick or simplicity that an entrepreneur, a digital agency owner can do? Because that's kind of one of the hardest things, because like you mentioned, they're accidental entrepreneurs. So to communicate what they want somebody else to do, it's almost like, just do what I do so I can stop doing it and go get clients. That's kind of the direction a lot of people give.
Well, you got to be self-aware of what you're really good at. Mm-hmm. And you got to be self-aware about what you suck at. Mm-hmm. And you should hire around what you suck at. Like, for example, everybody always tries to work on their weakness rather than exploit their strength, right? So let me use an example. If think about Walmart, right? Mm-hmm. Walmart's strength is their low prices. Mm-hmm. Their weakness is shitty service, and they barely pay their people. So if they wanted to compete with Target, who has a better experience, or Target, as my wife calls it, right? They would have to raise their prices, which would hurt their strength. Same thing goes with us. Stop working on your weakness, hire for your weakness. And then here's the deal. You want to delegate outcomes, not delegate tasks. Because just because you did it in 8 steps, if you delegate an outcome, they might be able to do it in 2. Mm-hmm. And it may be a lot better.
I like that. Delegate outcomes, not tasks. Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, how do you, when you're building this content, like what's your content generation process and system? Because I see you use like creating lots of videos, lots of emails, turning it into blogs, you have your podcast. Like how do you organize and streamline putting out such a, like A, such awesome content, by the way, but then B, in so many different streams and media platforms?
You know, I love it. I mean, I literally just, I'm obsessed with helping and I'm obsessed with, like, it goes back to the clarity and the vision of why we exist or what we stand for, mm-hmm. right? When I chat with people or people discover our content, they go, I wish I knew about you so-and-so, right? Like 2 years ago or a year ago. Well, now you know about me. You still got an agency, dummy. Like I can help you. right? Like, I'm like, you don't have to give me money. Just watch the content.
Right.
And then they kind of laugh. But you know, what we do is we just say, you know, we started out doing the podcast and we said, we want to tell other people's stories on our show and just let people know that they're not alone. Let them know that, hey, here's an angle that might work for you, or here's an angle that you can take little bits and pieces out of. And so that's how the Smart Agency Masterclass podcast works. And then on the Swank Today, so we do two shows a week. If you want links to them, just go to swank.it, and it goes to both of them, and you can link to it. And then the Swank Today show is just really kind of my thoughts each week. Of, you know, what I think the agency world needs to know, whether it be lead generation or whether it be selling your agency, or, you know, next week's on, should I merge with a bigger agency? Mm-hmm. Right? Like just topics around that. And it's just, you know, me and Stacy, you know, we just brainstorm on different ideas and just read the comments from people from our content. We just develop from that.
That's really cool. Now, are there any, like, as an expert in your field, are there like any pieces of advice that you can give every entrepreneur? Let's say you were giving a generic talk and saying, guys, here's some of the top three tips that I can give you guys.
Just be yourself and be consistent and cool. Know who you're helping. And right. Don't worry about the vanity shit metrics. Everybody thinks that I need 10,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Like, right. If you can get up to that level, great. That's like that's a nice size stadium of people paying attention to you.
Right.
But, you know, just start with helping one and just be you. Like, I made a mistake when I started doing my first couple of videos. If you actually go back to some of my first YouTube videos, oh God, I had the title of it was called The Ask Swank Show. Immediately, guys, what are you thinking about when I say the Ask Swank Show?
Asking for lots of questions.
Well, or Ask Gary V Show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right? True. I was going
to
say that.
I don't want to be associated with Gary. I want people, when they hear Jason Swank, I want them to think of me, not someone else. Or, oh, right. He's copying someone else.
Sure.
Now, sometimes you got to kind of do that in order to get started or to get the ball rolling. But I quickly was like, man, I was like, even like the first couple episodes, I was kind of even like using his persona. I'm like, I look back, I was like, oh God. Like, but I kept it up there just to show people kind of the progression and show them like, look how bad those videos were. Oh, I'm not saying my videos are, they're a little bit better now, but they were like, you can't get any worse. Like I had a nasty green screen that was right over here. I literally, there was two mattresses over here. So it looked like a really, like if my neighbors came down, they were like, who are you? Like, it was really creepy.
Yeah. It's kind of like suck less every day. So, yeah, it was the same way. I even asked you a while ago, what equipment should I get? And I got it all. And I still go back to my handy laptop camera and just make things happen quicker.
Yeah.
I'll end this pretty soon, but I want to go back into the story about, you mentioned that you were on the brink of not making payroll. And that's, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs have that stress or that fear of failure that they focus on like the wrong things. The mindset's a little bit off and a couple dials of the button. Like, was that the point where you went and kind of reevaluated and you're taking that, like looking at that job with NASCAR and then you came back to your agency? Or what point was it that you decided like, I'm pushing through, I'm not failing, I'm going gung ho? What was that dial that clicked in your head?
Yeah, it was a lot of mindset. And then it was also too, I was standing too close to everything. And I was trying to do too many things. Like my, I remember my, my uncle telling me a story. So my uncle worked for Grumman. It was a company that worked on the F-14 Tomcat, like the Top Gun fighter jet show, right? Pretty cool, right? Yeah. And I remember like as a young kid, we could sit in the canopy, like in the cockpit and see these jets like, and I remember him going, you know, Jason, one of my jobs was to test out the canopy. I was like, well, how'd you test out the canopy? He's like, I had a chicken gun. I'm like, chicken gun? I was like, this is cool. And literally I was like, you shoot chickens out of a gun? And he's like, we shoot dead chickens out of the gun. And so for weeks and weeks, he was pounding, you know, these canopies and just breaking them. And literally they were like, we need to get an outside opinion. So they wrote a letter and all the documentation of what they were doing to NASA. NASA is obviously brilliant minds. They wrote back one sentence, unfreeze the chicken, right? We're all shooting frozen chickens at the canopy when they should be unfrozen, just like real world,
right.
But we're standing too close to it. So I realized I had to get help from people from the outside. And they helped me get complete clarity of where we wanted to go based on, you know, my self-awareness of what I was good at, what we wanted, what did we want to do all the time, all that kind of stuff. And all those things kind of played a role into it. It just takes time.
Right. No, that's cool. Yeah, because I like to talk about how you get over that failure. Like when you said you went and got outside mentors, was it like friends, family, or did you ever bring a partner into your agency?
I had a partner. Yeah. So I started in 99. I brought a partner in 2001. He was with me to the very end. Challenging, amazing person. You know, sometimes the business outgrows certain people. So you just got to be careful with that. But yeah, I got mentors from the outside. I remember I started working with a gentleman, David Green. He ran a traditional marketing agency. He was one of the agencies that actually got the Olympics to Atlanta. And so, but he didn't have really any digital side. And then I got mentors from the, you know, all around. But the biggest challenge was, is they just didn't understand what I was actually doing, right? Like, I always believe you should get mentors that I've actually been there. That's why, like, I always want to punch people if they ever call me a business coach. I'm like, business coaches, like, nothing against business coaches. They're nice people, but they're usually, they haven't done what people they're trying to coach people to go do. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm like, no, I needed to find a mentor. I struggled. I mean, that's why it took me 12 years to build a big agency. You know, mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, I couldn't, there was no one doing it. Like when we started the agency, that was really kind of the, digital agencies really started in like 97, I feel, right? Mm-hmm. So we started like 2 years after that. And, you know, it was just all new. I mean, I remember our first website, I had to do change mode 755 to get an image to publish.
I remember, yeah, I was using Notepad in a community college. That's how we learned. And I had a HTML for, not a For Dummies book, but it was like Web 2, well, not Web 2.0 back then, but I forgot what it was. It was like learn HTML, something like that.
Yeah,
that was fun. I remember the like doing an image map was the coolest thing. I had a slice of a big pizza, and each slice clicked to somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And then I stopped designing and programming right around when CSS came out, which I don't know, maybe 2001, 2002. I remember looking at some designer's code and I'm like, what is this? Why? Where's the TD tags? I was like, this is crap code.
That's funny.
Now look who's laughing. So. I still can code in TDs.
So when you sold your agency, how much did you sell your agency for?
I don't disclose that, but it's a big number.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I'd try to get it out of you. Okay, cool. Well, awesome. Thank you for the time today. I really appreciate it. This was an abundance of knowledge here. I mean, you're awesome. Your content's great. Anybody who watches this, please follow Jason Swank. Tell him how to get a hold of you and what your programs are.
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of me is go to jasonswank.com, and Swank is spelled with an E. I'm not related to Hillary Swank. Well, maybe a long time ago. I don't know. But check out the podcast. And then, you know, if you guys are looking for, you know,
a mastermind group or playbook, just go through the content first. Get to know me through the content. If you like the content, then you'll like everything else. But I always tell people we give away about 80% of our knowledge for free. And then if you want to make sense of the knowledge, that's when you pay for it. And then we might be able to help you out.
Perfect. Awesome, Jason. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.